Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We're going to go back to verse 29 and continue on through the 11th verse of chapter 6. Luke chapter 5 through 6:11. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable. "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better." One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The main point of today's lesson is this. Jesus doesn't just patch up the old. Jesus brings new life. Jesus doesn't just patch up the old. Jesus brings new life. So, beginning with the story of the party at Matthew's house, the folks who were offended saw themselves as righteous because they were rules keepers. They did this and did this and did this, and they were careful not to do this or this or this. Therefore, they felt good about themselves. And Matthew was a tax collector. And the people he invited to his party were similarly disreputable. And Jesus met with them and ate with them and drank with them. And this was just scandalous to the religious crowd, as we said last time. Jesus' response was not to say, there's nothing wrong with the stuff they do. Jesus' response is one that would be horribly offensive to many people in our culture, because Jesus described these people he was eating with as the sick. That wasn't a compliment. Jesus wasn't saying, they haven't done anything wrong. Jesus said, yeah, they're sick, but I'm a doctor. The physician comes for the sick. I'm not here to call the righteous. Guess why he's not here to call the righteous? Because Jesus doesn't like righteous people. No, because there aren't any. Their own scriptures told them that none of them were righteous. But they didn't hear that. Like a lot of people don't want to hear what God says, particularly if it means I need to change. See, I'm perfectly happy to point out other people's faults. Jesus compares it to somebody who is saying, hey, you've got a speck in your eye, while they've got a beam coming out of theirs. All right? Do you think that Jesus ever exhibited a sense of humor? All the time, over and over. If you don't understand that that is intended to be a hilarious picture of the self-righteous who think that you've got a problem, and they have a huge problem that is very obvious to everybody else. Jesus exaggerates the image, the word picture there, for humorous effect, and it makes it very memorable. Okay? Now, Jesus says, I have come to let these people know it's okay what they're up to. Is that what he says? He says, no, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To repentance. Jesus isn't coming to pat everybody on the back and say, it's okay. You know, don't worry about it. Jesus is calling all who will to repent. What does that mean? A change of mind that results in a change of direction. It's not repentance if you don't change direction. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Wonderful old song I used to sing once upon a time. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. There's a line in that song that says, if you tarry, that means wait, till you're able, you will never come at all. If you think, well, I've got to clean up my act and then I can come to Jesus, you're not going to come. You got to realize when we sing just as I am, we're not going to say, just as I am, I want to stay. That's not it. We come to Jesus and he begins to change us. We don't stay the same. So, in verses 29 through 32, Jesus is calling people to repentance, which means a new life, a new identity. They're not going to just keep doing what they were doing. Now they're going to follow Jesus if they repent. Then in verses 33 through 39, the problem is that the people who are criticizing Jesus don't realize who he is. Jesus came into this world, the world he created. He created the whole place. The moon, the stars, everything. the laws of nature. He created all of it. This place is his. And when he shows up, the religious establishment of his day is saying, wait, what are you doing? I don't think you ought to be, you definitely shouldn't be doing that. That goes against our rules. Who are they talking to? Jesus is Lord. He's the owner. He's the boss. So, look at verses 33 through 39. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, meaning our guys. But yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus says that's because they're with the bridegroom. They're part of the bridal party. We're having a party. You understand? How can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? He's saying, I'm the bridegroom. Do you understand who I am? They didn't understand it at all. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew he was going to be killed. He told them this parable. No one sews a patch from a new garment, tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he'll have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. Again, Jesus is saying something that is humorous, and that is, you don't tear a new piece of clothing in order to make a patch for an old piece of clothing. That would be stupid on multiple levels. One of the reasons is, and this comes out in some of the other Gospels, because the new fabric back in this day would be unshrunken. And when you wash it, it's going to shrink. So if you used unshrunk cloth to patch cloth that had already been washed and shrunk, then when you wash it, the thing's going to tear away from the new. The whole thing is ruined. You've ruined the new garment, and you haven't really fixed the old one. But Jesus is using humor here to say something new has come on the scene and you're trying to make it fit into the old that you're familiar with and that you want to hold on to. And then he switches metaphor. He says, nobody would take new wine and pour it into old wineskins. Can we talk about wine? Jesus did, so yes. New wine is unfermented, just like unshrunk cloth, unfermented wine. What is unfermented wine? It's called grape juice. Okay, that's what it is. So if you take new wine and you put it into a new wineskin, it will ferment, and as it does, it will expand. And when it expands, the new wineskin, which has never had wine in it before, will expand with it. And so no harm, okay? That's why they do it that way. They use animal skins, leather. They put the grape juice in there. As it ferments, the thing expands, and you've got your little canteen of fermenting grape juice, okay? Jesus says, what would happen if you put new wine, unfermented, into old wineskins, already expanded? Well, it's going to ferment, right? Yes. What'll it do when it ferments? It'll expand. What's the problem with that? The wineskin's already expanded. So what'll happen? It'll burst. And you lose the wine and the wineskin. Dumb move. Jesus is saying, you are trying to take the new that God is bringing and force it into the old structures, the old containers. It won't work. Okay? You're going to lose everything. The old structure will be destroyed by the new power at work. So don't try to make this fit your agenda, your traditions. Instead, surrender to what God has designed. Now, Jesus is the fulfillment of the old covenant. All the old was pointing to him. All the scripture was about him. And so whether you're patching clothes in an insane way or trying to store new grape juice in a crazy way, it's not going to work. It would be manifestly foolish. They didn't get it. They were still clinging to the old. Then in chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, you have the same principle at work. Jesus and his disciples are walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and they did something that was permitted under Mosaic law. And that was just to remove some heads of grain as they're walking along. You sure that was permitted? It wasn't work? No, it wasn't work under Mosaic law unless you used a tool to harvest it. Okay? If you used a tool and cut the heads off the grain, not okay. If you're just pulling them off in their hands, that's why that's specified. That was permitted. Why did the Pharisees get upset? Because the disciples, having pulled the heads of grain, went like this in their hands to separate the wheat from the chaff. Oh, now they're threshing. No, they weren't threshing. They were just going like this. Oh, that's a violation. It wasn't a violation of God's law. It wasn't a violation of anything Moses said. It was a violation of the rules that they had made up because they didn't think that those scriptures were tough enough. They weren't strict enough. These people found their sense of righteousness in knowing a whole bunch of rules that God had never given and trying to follow those and then being able to point out where other people messed up. Let me just tell you, that demonic spirit of legalism is still an issue for the church today. There are people, and by the way, it's not just ultra-conservatives. The left has their rules, which change continually, and they are ready to cancel people who aren't following their rules. I have a son, my oldest son, who is not a liberal lefty. He is physically handicapped, and he doesn't mind saying that. Even though that is offensive, he is differently abled. What? We don't want to say disabled. He's just differently abled. He can't walk, but he can really make strides in his wheelchair. So we don't say disabled. We don't say handicapped. We say differently abled. No, we don't. No. Okay? I have another friend, a close friend. He listens to these broadcasts. He is blind. Don't say blind. He's visually impaired. Okay? My friend Dick Cannon would say, I'm blind. All right? I don't mind if you say I'm blind because I'm blind. You understand? It's not just conservatives who are legalistic. It's liberals too. It's the human heart that wants to have a list of rules that we know and you don't, and that makes us righteous and you a sinner. Jesus says, I'm calling sinners to repentance. If you know you've messed up, if you know you need help, if you know you need forgiveness, come.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Then, the final example in this text is another Sabbath when Jesus is in the synagogue and he was teaching, but the Pharisees were looking for a way to accuse him, and there was a guy there who was handicapped. He had a withered hand, okay, paralyzed. And Jesus saw what was going on. He saw this man's need, and he saw that the Pharisees were like, do you think he's gonna do anything? Not allowed to heal on the Sabbath. Who says? Oh, we do. We're the religious authorities. They're talking about whether or not God is free to act with mercy and bring healing to this man. Jesus said, see me outside later. No. Jesus said to the guy with the paralyzed hand, hey, come up here. Stand where everybody can see you. And then he says to them, the crowd, he says, is it lawful to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? Well, that's a kind of a loaded question. It should be a very simple question. Is it okay to take life or destroy it? Now, these guys are actually going to plot how to destroy life, how to take Jesus' life, how to kill him. But Jesus asked the question. They didn't have an answer. So Jesus says to the guy with the paralyzed hand, stretch out your hand. He didn't say, be healed. He said, stretch out your hand. Miracles come in the context of obedience. Jesus gives us the power to obey. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. The man immediately stretched out his hand and it was totally healed. They were furious. They were furious. And they began to discuss with one another what they might do to him. If you look in Mark 3:6, when this story is told, when they're talking about what to do to him, they were plotting how to kill him. They were trying to figure out what is our best way to kill Jesus. It's the Sabbath, and they're plotting murder. Why? Because he broke the Sabbath law. He did not break the Sabbath law. He didn't do anything that violated God's law ever. But he did not follow their rules. And that exposed the evil in their hearts. Now, I want to ask you, what is your hope of righteousness? Is it that you haven't done this and you have done that? Or do you realize that the only hope for any of us is Jesus? We sang it beautifully this morning. My only hope is Jesus. That's the only hope I have. It's not part of the equation. Well, you know, I've done this much and Jesus does the rest. No. What I bring to the table is my need for him. What is your hope? What is your confidence? Are you thinking you're going to go to heaven because you've been good? You won't. But if you think you've messed up so badly that there's no hope for you, you're wrong. Jesus came to save sinners. He calls us to repentance. I hope that you'll trust him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.